Germany was the birthplace of Bauhaus, but when it was shut down by the Nazis, who saw it as cultural Bolshevism, the figures at the centre of the movement spread far and wide, some of them to Australia. One such immigrant was artist and teacher Ludwig Hirschfeld Mack, whose studies at the Bauhaus inspired his explorations of colour. There's an exhibition of his works on at the moment in Geelong in Victoria, where Hirschfeld Mack became the art master of Geelong Grammar School. In this studio with me now is Professor Andrew McNamara, art historian at the Queensland University of Technology. Bauhaus is his area of research, and he's been looking closely at the works of Hirschfeld Mack. Thank you so much for coming in, Andrew.
Pleasure.
Lovely to have you here. So, Andrew, just briefly, you heard there Dr. Claudia Perrin talk about the enduring legacy of Bauhaus. Despite its very short and very fractured lifespan, why do you think it's had such an impact and continues to have such an impact?
I've been thinking that myself recently because being the centenary, it's an interesting question. Why are we still talking about this institution? It could be all one explanation is all the famous people who taught there. Another explanation is that it's almost a mirror of the Weimar Republic. It begins almost the same time. It starts in Weimar and it ends with the Nazi taking over power. Could be the parties. It could be the works that were produced. But many times, a lot of the people say it's the idea. It's the idea that lasts, and the stance, the attitude. So this idea of bringing all the arts together and having some grand project seems to be the thing that's really kept the flame alive, I guess.
Now, one of the legacies of Bauhaus is the school's teaching on colour theory. So can you explain about that? What were the Bauhaus students learning about colour, and why was it so revolutionary?
Well, the ambition, as Claudia mentioned, was that they were trying to break things down into component parts. So a lot of the time in the preliminary course, you would be, rather than doing an academic drawing or, you know, drawing of nudes, etc., you'd be asked to look at materials, say wood or paper, or and colour was another thing of this. So they broke colour down into component parts, and this was influenced by a teacher in Stuttgart before the war, and Johannes Itten, the designer of the preliminary course. He was always aiming to create a special colour seminar at the Bauhaus. Unfortunately, he was sacked before that happened. So who was asked to do that course but Ludwig Hirschfeld Mack as a student? So he's one of the first people to more or less graduate from being a student to a staff member.
How extraordinary. And because they had some amazing teachers there, didn't they?
Yeah.
Paul Klee?
Klee, Kandinsky, Oscar Schlemmer, who really took over the theatre and involved music and the visual arts as well in theatre and modern dance. But he also studied with this guy Herzl. So before Hirschfeld Mack even came to the Bauhaus, he studied in Stuttgart, as Itten did, as well as Oscar Schlemmer, and Hirschfeld Mack joined them and studied there. So this colour idea was in the air, and Hirschfeld Mack was the one to really begin to put this into practice as a seminar, and Klee and Kandinsky were noted as coming to his course.
Oh, really?
And then they actually start to introduce, because they were already working on colour, but they began to develop it in their seminars to do a component of it.
So what is colour light plays? How would it actually play out? Sorry about the bad joke.
Yeah, that's okay. One of Hirschfeld Mack's earliest or most famous works are to do with colour at the Bauhaus. And colour light plays is a machine he developed. And at the earliest stages of the Bauhaus, you could remember, there was a lot of friction. There was still academic staff there, and there was the new people as well. And there was this pull between even the arts on its own as compared to the applied to technology. So when some of the younger people who moved through the Bauhaus scheme began to get teaching positions, they began to do this nexus of art technology together. And in Bauhaus, they had a whole week of exhibitions in 1923, and this was mainly to appease the public, to say, oh, we're doing things in here. And this machine brought together technology. It was sort of clumsy by today's standards, a big box, and you had to hand move these big giant light bulbs and dimmers that were about nearly a foot long.
Yeah.
And but what it did was to create these really beautiful visual effects. They were sort of like light sculpture because they were almost looked three-dimensional. Mm-hmm. So they're quite evocative, even though this clunky, clumsy machine could create these quite beautiful. They look like they're computer-generated sometimes, but they mix primary colours and very elemental shapes, but then they merge into one another and they constantly transforming. And this was one of the key ideas, that it was, it came out of painting, but it was no longer painting. It was like sculpture, but it was not sculpture. So it's interdisciplinary, but it also brought the art and technology aspect together.
Yeah. How fascinating. Mm-hmm. Now, Hirschfeld Mack, he finally came to live here in Australia. He's forced to leave Germany because of his Jewish heritage. He made it to England, but then he was sent on the ship HMT Danira, a ship which was notorious for its overcrowding and its cruelty as well, because there was a shocking mix of people on that ship. How much do we know about his experiences on that voyage?
The Danira voyage is it's being documented a number of cases. In fact, there was a study last year that was a visual history of the Danira, which I'd recommend everyone to have a look at. It's beautifully illustrated. Hirschfeld Mack doesn't really talk about it much himself. He just has little aside saying it was a terrible time. I don't want to talk about it. But we do know that people were really badly treated. A lot of very personal belongings, like a rare violin, was thrown overboard by the sailors. So these sailors had this idea that these were all Nazis, basically. So they couldn't differentiate who was Nazi, who was a refugee. And so they all got had to stay below deck, and there was urine swishing around, and people had not enough places to sleep, so some people sleeping on the floor. Hirschfeld Mack also met a fellow Bauhausler on board, and his name was George Telchler, or George Adams, as he became. And he was beaten up. He wanted to get upstairs, had a sort of panic attack, wanted to get fresh air, and they knocked his teeth out. Oh. So, and he became... He was only here for a short time, but he ended up in Hay internment camp as well. And he's most famous for one at the Bauhaus. He was involved in the mechanical ballet, where they did these quite geometric shapes performing to music. And but in Australia, he created counterfeit money in the camp. And so you can see these little counterfeit bills, and they're beautifully designed. In fact, some people took them for real money.
Yes.
But on the outside of it, there's barbed wire for the, and in, within the barbed wire, it says, "We are here because we are here because we are here." And it's all woven into the barbed wire of the fencing of the internment camp.
So here's Ludwig Hirschfeld Mack. He's come from Germany. He's gone to England. He's been on the most horrific voyage out here to Australia. He was interned in Australia, and then he finally made it to Geelong Grammar. Yes. How did that happen?
It's a long story, but so everyone was interned by the government in England, and they were sent here. It was a little bit more tragic than that for Hirschfeld Mack, because he had already moved into alternative education or reform education schools, and they got gradually closed down. So he eventually had to go to England because he couldn't survive anymore, but he also had three young children, and his wife was suffering from multiple sclerosis. So she couldn't move, and he had to leave her behind, and he had to try and make a living and send money back to Germany. In fact, she never leaves Germany and dies after World War II. So it's a very tragic story for a lot of these figures as well. There were actually three, but Bauhausers. But Hirschfeld Mack eventually is interned. He ends up in Hay. Before the in World War One, he was in the war and became a lifelong pacifist. He did win the Iron Cross, but he became a Quaker and a pacifist. And one of the easiest ways out of the internment camp was to join the Australian Army. So he was in there quite a bit longer.
And because he refused to join the Army.
He refused to join the Army, yeah. So others did, and that was an easy way out, or a quicker way out. And eventually one of the people connected to the Quakers, called Dr. Darling, who was the headmaster at Geelong Grammar, about Hirschfeld Mack. It wasn't necessarily because of the Bauhaus, it's because of all his work in reform education. So he brought a lot of these Bauhaus ideas into new educational forms. So the material studies course that Claudia mentions that Albers was involved in. Herschel Mack and Albers were close colleagues and they worked on this idea together. Yeah. So they get students to break up into little bits and pieces of wood.
Lucky students. Amazing. Yeah. Now, also joining us here on the programme, it's a very international programme today, we have Sebastian Smee, Australian-born art critic for The Washington Post. Sebastian standing by in the studios in Boston. Hello, Sebastian.
Hi, Eddie. Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
So, Sebastian, I was just thinking about the way that Bauhaus went to different countries after the school was closed. But did its followers then stay true to the teachings in Germany, or did they diversify?
I think they definitely evolved. You know, I mean, they couldn't not. I mean, I think both the context, the fact that it was America rather than Germany, you know, America booming, self-confident, democratic, compared to old, you know, beaten up Europe after the war. Also the fact that, you know, the world had fundamentally changed. I mean, you know, before, the Holocaust hadn't happened. Hiroshima and Nagasaki hadn't happened, all of that. So I think that all of that meant that there had to be, you know, just a new attitude to the kinds of original principles that they had. And that definitely made itself manifest in America.
Yeah. Well, Sebastian, I'm going to talk to you more about Bauhaus in America in a moment. But Andrew, final question for you. What do you see as Bauhaus's influence here in Australia?
I was just thinking of what Sebastian just mentioned. It was interesting when Hirschfeld Mack brought the material studies course to Geelong. He did incorporate local material, so he asked students to go out and get gum leaves and bits of Australian wood. In fact, he recreated a lot of his work in with Australian, you know, wood, which he found was more durable, etc. But, you know, he was creating these colour chord orchestras that were to help students who couldn't read music to play music by colour. So he, and the other key aspect is that he was very involved in the curriculum, and as his time in Victoria went on, he actually became an advisor to the curriculum and had a big role in changing the curriculum in Victoria.
Now, that's interesting. Just briefly, you mentioning that colour strings thing, because that's actually a whole separate way of teaching strings that's actually come out of Finland. That's I guess that's just a whole topic for another day. Professor, thank you so much for coming in. And pleasure. And as we move around Australia, I think it's just really lovely to think, oh, maybe that's a little bit of a Bauhaus inspired building there, or a chair there, or even a teapot, or wonderful. Thank you so much. Professor Andrew McNamara, Professor of Visual Art at Queensland University of Technology, and he'll be giving a public lecture about Ludwig Hirschfeld Mack at Geelong Grammar School, where Hirschfeld Mack used to teach, on the 8th of May. And you can see an exhibition of Hirschfeld Mack's works at Geelong Gallery until the 26th of May. And Andrew is also part of a team recreating Hirschfeld Mack's colour light plays for an exhibition called Bauhaus Now that will visit Melbourne, Brisbane and Sydney, starting at Buxton Contemporary in Melbourne, where it's showing from July to October. And a new book will be launched then too that Andrew's co-authoring. It's called Bauhaus, Diaspora and Beyond. Head to our website for details.